It's the Midnight Radio Network. I'm Eric Harley. He's Gary McNamara. And look, retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here. It must be Ask the Law. Yay! We don't actually have applause, so I have to do my own. By the way, it is Ask the Law for Monday, May 9th, 2011. And we are live here with, again, retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. Ask the Law, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the information and answers to questions are up to date and can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. We've been known to opine every once in a while on this program. Hey, drivers, 800-288-9227. That's our number. This is where you can get all of your questions answered right here with Trooper Dial on the program. Hours of service, CSA 2010, and much more. We have a couple of other things we're going to throw into the mix on hours of service and CDLs and much more. So get in right now while the going is good at 800-288-9227. AskTheLaw.org is the website. Click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law anytime. Gary, how was your weekend?
Good, can't complain.
Yeah, big Mother's Day weekend. You talked to Mom on Sunday?
Talked to Mom on Friday, talked to Mom on Saturday, talked to Mom on Sunday.
Yeah.
And finally Sunday was like, all right, you've talked to me enough. I don't care whether it's Mother's Day. Would you please leave me alone?
Yeah, please. I got to go.
Your father and I are trying to do stuff.
Yeah, we're trying to live our life. Please.
Exactly. And it was almost like the Seinfeld episode where George's parents said, sorry, we're done with you. Yeah. You're an adult. Go live your own life.
Yeah, go live your own life. Exactly. Went to see Mom on Saturday and then called her on Sunday and had a big lunch with her on, had chicken salad sandwiches with her on Saturday.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. Homemade. It was actually pretty good. We didn't hit a restaurant. A lot of times when I go up just for the day, we'll just hang out at the house and not hit a restaurant. Dad will take her out on Sunday, which he did. I called her on Sunday. She's, yeah, I'm, getting dressed, putting my makeup on. I'm really, I'm kind of busy here. We need to, move this conversation along because Dad's taking me out to eat.
Jeez, another Mother's Day? Yeah. Will everybody just leave me alone?
Yeah, please leave me alone. So, Trooper Dial, welcome to the program.
Yes.
We want to thank you and R.J. Taylor for being patient with us last week. We were scheduled to have you in 1 week ago this morning, but thanks to Osama bin Laden getting himself shot in the head, that changed everything, and the breaking news changed our programming a little bit, and we appreciate you being here. Now, you are going to be out next month, June.
Yes.
And you'll be back in July?
July.
Yeah. So, okay. So, what that means is, folks, is that we're going to talk about Road Check 2000, because that happens, actually. We're on just a couple of days before that starts. But we'll talk about that and what drivers should expect here later in this morning's program. So, 800-288-9227. Drivers, you have something maybe that happened to you recently and you're wondering, is that going to show up on my CSA? 800-288-9227. Hours of service. Maybe, you've been told one thing and you think it's another and you've got some questions there on hours of service. We'd love to straighten that out for you. 800-288-9227. A couple of things that that came down the pike last week. It seems like yesterday. What a fast weekend it was. The FMCSA, just the other day, this happened on May 5th, in fact, issued its final rule amending the commercial driver's license knowledge and skills testing standards and establishing new minimum federal standards for states to issue a commercial learner's permit. All right, break this down for us. What does this mean on the CDL? Because right now is the time where we pretty much have to kind of spell this out because we have a lot of people in the industry. I guess this has been a trend since the beginning of the recession where we have people coming from other industries to get their CDL and maybe explore truck driving. So when it comes to getting your CDL, what does this mean here? What happened on May 5th?
Okay. Well, first off, before I get in and start doing explaining the process, this will not take effect until 2014.
Okay.
So if
July 8th, 2014.
Right. So if you're in the process of getting your CDL now, go ahead and do it like you are planning to do it. It's just in 2014, the rules change. What's going to happen is rather than an individual going into their local driver license office, taking the written test immediately followed by the driving test, under this new final rule that goes into effect in 2014, you will go in, take your written test, then you will have to wait a minimum of 14 days before you can come back and take your driving test.
Was it fairly common for folks to come in and go in and take that the both tests within the same week and then get behind the wheel of a truck?
Sure, it was not common at all for that to happen.
Okay.
Typically, if you went to work for say ABC company,
right,
who is typically not in the trucking business, they happen to use trucks out of necessity.
Right.
Let's say that ABC Trucking is a underground utility company.
Right.
Okay. Putting in the underground cable is their primary business. It just happens that transportation is how they get their equipment and the supplies moved from location to location.
Right, right.
Those type of individuals, they would come in, take the written test, followed by the driving test. The guy would go to work because, you know, he's not considered a long-haul truck driver.
Right, right. Mostly local folks.
Right. So these are most of your local folks, and it was a common everyday occurrence that they would come in, take the written, and immediately followed by the driving test.
Right.
Where under these this new final rule, they can't do that. The driver will have to come in, take a written test. He will get a commercial learner's permit,
mm-hmm.
and he will have to wait 14 days, then come back and take his driving test. So the local people are probably going to be the ones that are going to be the greatest impact on versus your long haul truck drivers. Typically, most of those guys are either going to sign up and go through a truck driving school,
right.
or they're going to go with a company that has their own school, and you know, they're going to spend time teaching these guys how to drive.
Yeah, and that's their encouragement here behind in putting that 2 week period in, I guess, is to make sure that they go out, or at least hope that they go out and learn something, get some experience.
Yes.
In that 2 weeks before they come back and take that.
Yes, that's the reason FMCSA put this out, was to encourage the beginner to go out, get some seat time, and learn how to operate the vehicle before they come back in and take a driving test.
You can read more if you want to go to the website, the regulations.gov. The docket number is FMCSA-2007-27659. You'll be able to find this story, in fact, on our website a little bit later this morning, so all the links will be there if you want to do that. You can also go to OverDriveOnline.com. OverDriveOnline.com. They have the story up right now. eTrucker.com will take you there as well. The FMCSA's final rules, effective July 9th, but states must be in compliance by July 8th, 2014.
Yes.
So there you have it. And 800-288-9227. If you've got a question for Troop or Dial, 800-288-9227. In fact, let's go to the phones right now.
And we have Raphael in Memphis. Raphael, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law.
Good morning, and thank you. My question is, I received a level 2 infection in Texas, and is the officer's infection the final say in the matter, or can I contest it? He did it on the side of the road, and I did not argue with the officer.
Good.
But I don't think right.
Okay, what you need to do, Raphael, is get you a copy of the DOT regulations, either the book or the internet version. I would say probably get the internet version unless you can find a real recent copy of the DOT regs. Each one of the violations will have a section number that it refers to. Go to that section, read it. Also check to see if there are any interpretations. If you still disagree with it, then you can go in and do what's called a data queue, or your motor carrier does the data queue for you.
All right. Thank you very much. And the reason I'm concerned is because the CSA 2010 will affect my score.
Yes.
Right, right.
All right. Well, thank you.
We appreciate it, Raphael. Thank you very much. And if you have a question for Trooper Dial, 800-288-9227 is our number. The calls are already coming in. The board's going to fill up very quickly, so this is the time to get in. Again, if you have a question on CSA 2010, that was a great question, by the way, from Raphael, because I think a lot of drivers believe that once that you go through that inspection, action. There's nothing you can do beyond that point. The officer's basically, I guess, final judgment or whatever he puts down notes in that inspection is the final word.
Not necessarily. Here again, you know, and I've always told people in all the years that I was doing the show, you know, even when I was working, I still do it after I retire. Troopers and law enforcement officers, they're human just like everybody else.
Sure.
They're going to have bad days. They're going to have good days. And, you may have caught one in a bad day.
Right.
And if there's something that you disagree, and I'm glad that Rafael didn't decide to get in a contest with him on the side of the road.
Exactly.
But, take what's coming. Then, get your book or get on the internet, look and see what that violation specifically talks about. Because it could have been something that, I heard about this or I thought it was this. Go in and read specifically what it talks about. And if you still disagree, then get a hold of your motor carrier, or if you are the motor carrier, you go in and do your data cues. And that's the way to contest, to challenge the violation noted.
All right. The FMCSA posting some new hours of service data. What that means as they extend the comment period and publication date for the final rule on hours of service. When will that be? And does anyone know? Coming up on Ask the Law, and your questions at 800-288-9227. It is Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dow. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All the information is up to date as of today. Monday, May 9th, 2011 can change without notice. And comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Ask the Law, courtesy of Old Blue USA. 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Warren in Waco, Texas. Warren, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. Thanks, guys. I just had a quick question about hours of service. I've got a CDLB, and I'm just wondering when I have to start counting my hours and when I get to quit counting them for the day. I count up when I turn the key is when I start, and then I get back to the warehouse and I may have an hour, hour and a half worth of loading to do that I'm no longer driving. Do I have to count that time in my hours of service as well?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
So those hours would be on duty, not driving?
Correct. Be on duty, not driving. How many hours do you work a day, Warren?
It will vary anywhere between 8 to, well, I guess as many as 14. And during that time, I'll have an hour and a half that I'll unload, deliver products, then get back behind the wheel. I might do that 4 or 5 times a day.
Okay, let me ask you this: do you travel outside of the state of Texas?
No.
So the product that you pick up and the product that you deliver all starts and ends in Texas.
Correct.
Okay, all of you listening out there in radio land, I'm talking to Warren. This applies to Warren. Warren only. Under the Texas rule, Warren, the 15-hour rule applies to you, not the 14. You also, anytime you go off duty, you get to stop your clock.
Right. That would be a break for lunch or dinner or whatever.
Correct, correct. Any off-duty period, you get to stop your clock. The 14-hour clock does not apply to you. You work under 12 hours driving, 15 hours total duty time. Anytime you go to line one, your clock stops. You don't count it.
Are there any other things that count with that? Like I don't ever drive more than 100 miles in a day. Does that have anything to do with
Warren,
my service?
Warren, do me a favor. Do you have access to the internet?
Hello, Warren. Sounds like, okay, we lost Warren. In fact, stand by, Trooper Dial. We'll give him some instruction on the other side on the air. So,
yes.
Warren, if you're listening, stand by for that on what you can do. It's Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network,
and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Drivers, if you have a question, 800-288-9227. That's 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara with Eric Hartley.
All the information and answers to questions are up to date as of today, Monday, May 9, 2011, and can change without notice. Any comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org is the website. You can go there, AskTheLaw.org. Click on the big red button that says Email Ask the Law. You can submit those questions anytime right there at the website. And thank you to Old Blue USA for making this Ask the Law possible, and they have been doing that for many, many years. 800-288-9227. All right, last caller had a scenario, and we were going to kind of walk him through what he was on, and again, we just want to reiterate this, an intrastate driver.
Correct.
In the state of Texas.
Correct.
So for him, what can he do? You were going to give him a website that he can go to.
Right. What you need to do, Warren, is if you can get on the internet, send me an email through askthelaw.org, and in it, address it to me. And what I will do is I will respond, and I will give you a link that will take you to the Texas Administrative Code, because that's where you're going to find the intrastate version of the Texas Hours of Service is found in the Texas Administrative Code.
Because basically he was wrapping up by saying, is there anything else that kind of falls in under this
intrastate
rule? There's plenty.
There's plenty.
Yeah,
trust
me,
there's
yeah.
plenty.
Yeah. So 800-288-9227. Let's get back to your calls.
Let's talk to Albert in Texas. Albert, hi. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Howdy. How you doing?
Good.
Trooper Dial, appreciate your service here. And also, what I'd like to know, my understanding of the Texas law is at one time, there one ton and below were required, the operator was required to wear a seatbelt. 1.5 ton and above, they were not required by Texas law. Has that changed?
Yes, it has. What they did was back, about 2001 or 2003, they went in and changed. Up until that time, if you had a truck by definition that was 1 ton or less, you were required to wear a seatbelt. If your vehicle was over a 1 ton, under Texas law, you were not required to wear a seatbelt. Then they came in and of course, if you were under the DOT regulations, you had to wear it irregardless of the size.
Right.
But what they did was they came back in, it was either the late 1990s, early 2000, they came back and changed the state law to where if you were a person riding in the front seat, you had to have a seatbelt irregardless of the size of the vehicle.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
Well, I appreciate the information.
And last session, Albert, they changed it to where now everybody inside the vehicle has to wear a seatbelt.
That's right. All adults, everybody.
It don't make a difference. If you are in the vehicle, it don't make a difference if it's in the front, you're in the back, the third seat, third row, whatever.
Right.
Everybody
right.
inside a vehicle has to be belted in now.
Regardless of size.
Right.
Is that true for limousines, too?
No.
It's not for limousines.
They've got an exemption for them.
Celebrities? Have exemptions? Oh, say it isn't so. Albert, thank you so much for the call. We do appreciate that. Okay, because I just thought about that because we've been we're planning a little wedding there at the house. And all right, so that doesn't apply in limousines.
Correct.
Huh. It's because with a seatbelt you can't partay? Or
yes. Well, the thing is, what they've done.
Did they say why the exemption is? And is that the only exemption?
I think it was one that they wrote in there. They exempt limousines simply because of the way that they're configured.
Right.
The only seats that remain in their natural configuration is the seat the driver's in.
Right.
The seat the passenger's in.
Right.
And the very back seat that you get in and out of.
Right.
Everything else. Going through there has been reconfigured.
Right.
And so they exempt them.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Something else that's interesting is something that came down on Friday from thetrucker.com. Lyndon Finney posted this story. And again, we'll have this story later this morning at our website as well. And you can go to thetrucker.com anytime and read it. It appears everyone's going to have to wait just a little bit. In fact, it'll be past July to see the final rule on the current proposed hours of of service rulemaking. All right. So the FMCSA said Friday morning that it had placed four additional research studies in the official rulemaking docket, and it was reopening the comment period to allow for public review and discussion of these studies. It was not immediately known when the FMCSA anticipated the final rule would be published, nor when the extended comment period would close. So now it's been extended, and I won't say indefinitely. It's just they haven't told us yet when, you know, when these deadlines will be. There are four studies that are linked here in the story. And by the way, you can link to each of these studies and read them. I will tell you that right now it's a lot of information. The first is the impact of driving, non-driving work, and rest breaks on driving performance in commercial motor vehicle operations. And reading through that one was one that was contracted. That study was contracted just a few months ago.
Yes.
And there was some interesting information in there, and I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to, because during the comment period and during the listening sessions, they were trying to, in fact, they asked specifically for data on hours of service, on rest, on any of this to support, I guess, anyone's position. So as you show up to a comment period or to a listening session to make a comment, they were asking for, I guess, data to back up your position.
Well, normally what they did is this go around when Ann Farrell took to the field.
Right.
There were four specific items that they were wanting truck drivers to address. Now, when I went back and picked up and listened to some of the sessions, drivers were all over the board. Mm. I mean, they were talking about this and talking about that. But one of the things was they wanted four items that they wanted drivers to address, and that had to do with the 10 versus the 11.
Mm-hmm.
Had to do with the breaks and the total hours.
Right.
And I can't remember what the fifth or fourth one was.
It was the 34-hour restart, wasn't it?
34-hour reset.
Yeah.
What they wanted was specific comments on if they made a change, how would that change impact your ability to drive the 10 versus the 11.
Right.
The brakes, the 34-hour reset, and the total duty time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here again, drivers got all over the board, and FMCSA did get enough information out of that, plus they ended up getting more out of the comment period.
Right.
When drivers and trucking companies and whoever else was eligible to comment or wanted to comment, that went in. Well, appears now then that the horse is already out.
Right.
Somebody left the door open.
Right.
Horse got out. Well, now then, all of a sudden, FMCSA is coming back and saying, well, maybe we might need to do a little study on this.
Right.
So now then they're commissioning all these studies.
Right.
Well, what they're doing is they're now coming back and telling the public that submitted comments or those that didn't submit the comments, hey, we want you to submit some more comments.
Right.
on these specific studies.
Right. And that's in the ATA, by the way, expressed some concerns with this. I'll put that nicely. ATA's getting, I'll tell you, a little more fiery in their later days here as we get closer to a final hours of service rulemaking, threatening to sue once it comes out if it's in its current form as it is in the proposal and more. But certainly they have some concerns with this, and we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. Drivers, if you want to get on board, 800-288-9227. If you have a question about hours of service, question any regulatory item. It doesn't have to be hours of service or anything related to the CSA, but we welcome those questions as well at 800-288-9227. We'll line you up as we go to the break. 800-288-9227. Back with Ask the Law in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's
the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227, Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
All the information is up to date as of today, Monday, May 9, 2011, can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Zach. Zach, hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network, you're on Ask the Law, welcome, hi.
Hello, how are y'all doing?
Good.
Yes, I had a question concerning driver's log. I own a small oil field service company in North Texas, and we do a lot of business within 150 miles of our shop. And I had heard that if you don't travel outside of 150 miles, that you don't have to keep a driver's log. And I was wondering if that was just a rumor, if that was true, or what you need to do in that situation.
Okay, what we're going to, first off, Zach, what they're going to do is, one, they're going to look at the origin and the destination. Where did the truck start? Where does the truck stop? If the truck stays wholly within the state of Texas, your starting point and your ending point is within the state of Texas, Texas will allow the driver to use what's called a 150 air mile radius. If the load or the truck crosses the state lines, and what I mean by that is I use railroad or air freight. If it came by train, if it came by airplane, that's a continuation of a interstate move. In that case right there, you're limited to 100 air miles. What you need to do is go to the FMCSA regulations and read part 395.1E, and that's going to be your example of the air mile radius. They call it a short haul driver provision now, but to qualify for it, you have to start and stop from the same location each day. There has to be some type of time record that shows starting time, ending time, total time worked. The driver cannot be on the clock more than 12 hours, and he has to stay within that 100 or 150 air mile radius.
More coming up on Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network.